We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years, Andy Lou, vintage 2020/21 Warriors performance tonight. Before we get into it, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. Worst loss this season.
By far the worst loss of the season. The only player that played well was Steph, sort of, and even he struggled down the stretch. So, who actually played well? Kevon Looney for the minutes that he did. Everybody was terrible tonight.
Looney did help swing the rebound category in my favor in fantasy. That's about the only positive I got going.
The only thing. I mean, like, where do you even start? Like, turnovers. We know about the turnovers. Foul up three. They made the same mistake last year where they didn't foul up three, right? Steph playing off ball way too much with guys that kept turning the ball over. Role players. We even got a Steph yelling at his teammates, which we saw one time last season. Just, and like you said, an exact replica of what we saw last season, capped off with a loss against the Pacers where LaVert, Sabonis, Miles Turner, and Brogdon, their four best players, Sam, did not play. Some guy named Kiefer Sykes. Yeah, TJ Warren.
Literally their starting lineup out. Yeah. No, I mean, TJ Warren's been out all year.
Oh, my
goodness. Just to you know, complete the full picture.
Incredible.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm as worked up as you just because, in general, they haven't had a lot of games like this. But I want to take this in a different direction, which is, like, they've kind of been in a malaise basketball-wise for, like, a while. And they've been winning for the most part, but it's like, are you concerned that they're actually turning kind of in a negative direction, or are you just more like, this was just a wholly one-off disgusting type of game?
No, I'm annoyed because it's been a problem for a month. Like what you're saying, like, they've been bad on offense for a month straight. They've not figured out many times this season how to play crunch time offense, right? It's Steph. At this point is playing too much off ball, and he should know this. Age 33, going on 34, especially on nights like this where nobody has anything going. Steve Kerr is still playing veterans over guys like Kuminga, where Kuminga barely played tonight. I don't know for what reasons. Not like JTA was any better. Gary Payton Jr., Gary Payton too, who we know has been good, is not playing for whatever. Like, just obvious stuff that has been an issue for the past month, Sam, came back again tonight. It's not like this was a one game type of thing. It's been that bad for a month straight. I feel like that's something's got to change.
Yeah, I feel like tonight was the culmination of a million little things that have been annoying over the last month. And, you know, most nights they probably just close us out, even playing poorly. Like, but just the brain fart on not fouling when you're up three. The turnover, first off, they should have just never been in that situation
at all,
just with Indiana's entire setup. And I kind of want to talk about Steph because, like, what did he finish with? 39? Yeah. Did he get over 40? Sure, he wasn't bad for the most part of the game, but he's not playing at a Steph Curry level. I'm sorry. Like, missing he had a chance to seal the game, wide open three, missed. You know, it's, and it's been this way for a period of time with him, and I just don't know what else to say. Like, yeah, they've been running some very annoying offense with him off ball, but like at a certain point, kind of has to fall on his shoulders. If you're the MVP of the league, and I'm not sure he really is anymore, got to be a little better than this. Like, he's capable of playing a lot better than this is basically what I'm getting at.
Well, the fault for him playing off ball is not really on Steve Kerr. Like, for me, it's like, yeah, you can blame Steve. I'm down to do it. I'm always down to do that. But some of that's on Steph. Like, he scored 39 tonight, and he shot 27 times. He probably should have shot 37 times, and he would have had 55 easy. It's not like he was off rhythm tonight. He actually was in rhythm. But his whole thing right now, especially for this team without Draymond Green for the next month, is that he can't do the, hey, I'm just going to let some fucking guy named Kiefer Sykes face guard me bullshit. Like, he's got to abuse. Kiefer Sykes is a G leaguer, man. He should be playing against guys like me. Like, the thing that Steph should not be doing is letting him foul him off ball and letting him demand what he should be doing on offense. Yes, you're right. That's on Steph. Like, that's not really on Steve. So 27 shots tonight's a lot, but damn, you should have shot 37. And that's kind of the stuff where you would think he knew that from last season. I mean, look at who was around him tonight. Andrew Wiggins wasn't playing well. JT, yeah, I'm gonna let you keep going, or else I'm gonna keep rambling.
I was gonna say, on the flip side to this, we got struggles all around. Wiggins.
Right.
I mean, that was a Minnesota Wiggins performance. Straight up with the tunnel vision anytime he's dribbling it off.
It was bad.
There. Jordan Poole has been just, I mean, ever since he's moved to the – ever since Clay came back, like, he cannot find his role on the team. Clay couldn't hit a three tonight. 6-for-10 inside the arc, 0-for-7 outside. On some level, we all know this is just kind of how it's going to be with Clay for a little bit until he fully gets his legs back. I don't really – I want to say, like, the insertion of Clay is kind of part of the issue here, but I don't really think that's what's going on, to be honest. Like, they were playing poorly with Clay off the floor. You know what I mean? Like, it was just an all-around terrible performance. And, I mean – yeah, they missed Draymond, but they're just – they need the all-star break, man. That's all.
But the thing is, it's still a ways away. Like, they can't – they've got to fight through this somehow. And I think part of that is let's kind of take this back to what happened last season. They've got to put guys in better situations. Jordan Poole, if he's going to struggle with running this type of offense that he's been in the last few weeks, then put him in a better position. Like – stop running split cuts with Jordan Poole because he doesn't – it's not his type of offense, right? Stop having Bielitsa make a decision with the ball in his hands because he's just going to turn it over.
I feel like I need a two-week break on split cuts. Just a little too much, you know? It's like it's like when you go to the same bar every weekend. You're like, I need to
– we're not doing that.
We're not doing that for a couple weeks, guys. I've been here too much.
Well, it's like – if it's not – here, how about this? If it's not working against the Pacers, the G League Pacers, it ain't working against anyone else right now. Like, that's all there is. Like, change something, man. You got to change something. Jordan Poole – there's only two guys that can create and get to the rim. It's Jordan Poole and Steph Curry. So if Jordan Poole is playing bad, then you got one guy. Then what are we doing here, right? I can guard the split-cut offense right now, Sam. Like, this is embarrassing what they're throwing out there. And they still had, 68 in the first half? That's the crazy part. But they weren't able to score in crunch time again in the second half. So what can you do?
Yeah.
And they got to do something about that. I don't know what it is.
I mean, we didn't mention this off the top, but it's like, obviously, Draymond's out. Wiseman – by the way, did you see Steve Kerr's press the clip of the pregame coach's press conference?
What did he say?
Injured? I mean, just visible
– what, anguish?
Well, it just sounded like a dude who didn't want to misspeak because he had, like, Raymond Ritter looking at him and stuff like that. It's just kind of like the whole Wiseman situation is weird. No one knows if he's coming back. Steve's like, yeah, we're hoping to get him back, and I don't know. Like, you know, I have nothing to tell you. And just the combo of that with, like, the lack of big men in the rotation. I mean, you're talking about it. It's like they should run a pick and roll for Jordan Poole. And I'm sitting here going – who do they run a pick and roll with? JTA, you know, Bielitsa. It's not like they have. It's not like they have Draymond or Wiseman to run a pick and roll with. It's not. You want to run them with Looney? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just.
But there are ways to do it better than what they're doing right now, because we've seen it not work with the way that they're. It's not like the Warriors tried something new tonight on offense,
right?
And it didn't work, right? Like, it's more like, yeah, we've seen this shit. Like, we've seen this, and it's not working. And you can't have them fight through it this way. I think the NBA, the Warriors have changed to where I think Jordan Poole is not going to be that type of player. And Steve, he's just not. And the same thing is going to be the case with Kuminga, who, by the way, fantastic in the first few minutes. I really don't know what happened to him this game. I guess he made some mistakes defensively, and then they got benched. But like, it's just you're gonna have to fit the way that you coach your system to these guys. It's just not. I made this kind of joke online. I think they just took away Poole's aggressiveness. Like, you could see the kids lost all his confidence out there. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, they are going through it right now with the dog days stuff. Like, it's everyone, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
There's no other way around it, and it's
not GP2 though. Not GP2.
No, GP2's. He needs to get on the floor more. That's like, that's my main take from this. He just makes things happen. You don't need to run a play for him. He will make the play happen himself. He needs to get on the floor more. On the positive side, we are in game 46, 47, and this is easily the lowest point of the season for them, like in terms of bad games. So, that's a positive. You know, we look down south at the Lakers. Could be worse. You know, could be a little worse. Could be dealing with endless. Like, this was a frustrating game that sucks no matter what. But, like, in the scheme of the season, it's, you know, there's been more good than this.
I will be, I guess, level 10 concerned. If Draymond comes back and it's still this way, you're right. I mean, Clay was rusty tonight. I mean, shit, he was terrible. He airballed a three, wide open the three. It was hilarious. So you could just tell he's tired probably and rusty out there. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be concerning if a month from now Draymond comes back to the All-Star break and still looks like this. But, yeah. Steph.
And by the way.
Steph, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and by the way, the team was 9 for 42 from three.
Oh, my God.
Another poor shooting game from three. And – you know, we can talk about the offense, but I feel like they got their fair share of open shots,
man. Yeah, how is that possible?
I don't know where you go with it, but they've been in a shooting slump for more than a few games here. And even when they have a good game, it just kind of regresses back from deep. Like, I don't know what else to say. That's just kind of how it's been going.
I think it starts with Steph. I think it's just if Steph's gonna get hot, this team is gonna, it's just the energy is gonna get better. It's gonna get all joyous again. I mean, it doesn't look that joyful out there right now, at all. Even when they were up 10, this game was terrible through the first half and got worse at the end. So I just if Steph plays better, they'll all be better. I guess that's the easiest way to put it. But they kind of look miserable out there. Like you're saying, they need the All-Star break, but the All-Star break, Sam, is not for another few weeks, if not a month. So they can't just drag ass there. You know what I mean? But Houston,
there's definitely a dozen plus games left. So
yeah,
I don't know. They're gonna have to find energy from somewhere. It's not gonna be from Draymond Green. It's not gonna be from the reassertion of James Wiseman. They're gonna have to find some energy, and it just sucks to give away games like this. Should we get some goons?
Let's get to the goons.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Jackson.
Hey, you there? Sorry, yeah, I'm here. I was pretty disappointed tonight. I saw that they started the year 20-2 in the last 25 games. I saw they're 14-11. I was someone coming in on the year where I've been getting proved wrong all year. I thought they were just going to be marginally better than last year. I was still, big time team trade the kids for win now players. My question to you guys is, do you think they're more like the team over the last 25 games that's 14-11 or more like the team that started that's 20-2? Because I don't know. I still think the roster has some holes and get better. They've got a lot of guys who are just vibe players out there. They aren't play creators. They're not play finishers. They're just kind of guys that escalate to management that, hey, let me you know what I mean? Like, hey, let me get back with you on that. I'll go off the manager, with JTA and Iguodala. Just move the ball down the line, So
that's lucky, an amazing analogy. I didn't even see that coming. So I appreciate the call, Jackson.
Oh my god, I had to unmute because that was so fucking funny.
Okay, escalate to management. That is the perfect analogy for some of the players that we're not going to talk about right now. All right, are they the team of the first 20 few or the last 20 few, Andy? Are they 20-2 Warriors or are they 14-11?
Well, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say they're in between because I know you. and you're going to say it's the middle of those teams. I would say they're more like the first 20 games. You said this at the top, dog days of January, mid-January game at home against Indiana. Steve Kerr was awful tonight. Draymond Green wasn't out there. Klay Thompson is rusty. I mean, those are their best guys, right? And so those guys just either weren't there or just were bad, and that's what happens. I wouldn't judge them on their worst day. I wouldn't necessarily judge them on their best day, I guess. But with a team like this, I'd skew towards them on their best day, which is when they have Draymond and Steph out there playing well.
Yeah, okay. So in any conversation we have comes with the caveat, I assume Draymond's going to be fully healthy. If he's not, nothing matters. Like, they're not going anywhere. It's pretty simple. But if he's healthy, I feel very confident they have the best defense in the NBA. And I think their offense is probably somewhere between the first 20 some games and the last 20 some games. I don't think it's as prolific as it looked in the early part because they really only have one shot creator, but like the last month plus, it's a lot of missed open shots, and I don't think that lasts. So, yes, you're right. I'm predictable. I was going to go somewhere in the middle.
I could resist.
Yeah, it's okay. You take your shots when you can. Mr. Light Tears, what's going on, man?
Oh, yeah, what's up, guys? So I was just wondering, Steve Kerr was really, really bad tonight, but it really shouldn't have mattered. But my question is, at what point do you think Steph starts to say, like, hey, I need to get myself going? Because there was a play in the fourth quarter. We were up two, or maybe down two. I can't recall. And Steph had the center switched out on him. And he instead calls for a screen with Klay. And then Klay fires up the three and airballs it. And, like, I feel like Steph's just like, okay, I can get Klay going here rather than thinking, hey, we need to win this game. I need to get out of this slump. I need to go. Like, so when do you think he's that turns in his mind? How many games down the line? How many how long a slump before he just says, okay, if I go 0 for 45, that's fine?
It's a good question. Andy, what do you think?
Never. it's not who Steph is. I'll tell you when he might do something like that. Dame kind of called him out last season in the beginning of the year about Steph not getting the same shots now that, you know, KD wasn't there, and then Steph did what? He shot hunted and dropped 62 on him. So the only time I think is when opposing players say something about Steph. Other than that, I doubt that he changes the way he plays.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I'm not going to get mad at Steph for passing it to an open Clay.
I agree.
Shot, that type of stuff. And at some point, Clay's going to hit those shots. And it's like, I guess we all knew there would be some kind of growing pains readjustment when Clay comes back. That doesn't mean it's easy to watch. That doesn't mean it's like fun to watch him kind of go through it a little bit. Like, I think in general, Clay's looked great physically, but like, 2.5 years of not playing NBA basketball is a lot of time. He's going to miss some more shots than he usually does. All right, let's keep moving.
Steve is taking full ownership for the loss tonight. And good for you, buddy.
Mike, hey, Mike, what's going on, man?
What up, dudes? I got a couple things. Every time I call in about the bench, because this bench, I don't think, with Andre, excluded because, he's the vet. But right now, we don't have anybody that can come off the bench and really lead, especially when Steph and Clay and Draymond are out. It's got to be something done there because, obviously, Poole can get hot on some nights, but everybody else is not as dependable. Kuminga's coming along, obviously, but it's going to be this bench, guys. And then, two, maybe we shouldn't play baseball the day before a game, like on the sport that you play, and not play baseball the day before. I don't know. I think we should be a little concerned right now because things are really kind of starting to fall off. They're still second in the league. That's fine, but
okay.
It's a lot of body language stuff out there. I don't know if they get a little cocky sometimes or if they just. I don't know.
Let's talk about the bench.
Good call, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the bench. Tell me what you're thinking.
I think it gets fixed when Clay's back to his normal minutes. I think that they get the issue right now is that it's mainly just Jordan Poole out there with really no other guy. Damian Lee's kind of vanished, and Belly's not doing anything useful anymore, and they really don't have many options. And I think when Clay's back a month or so from now, he's the guy that's playing with Jordan Poole off the bench. And I think that's going to make life a lot. Like, I don't know if it fixes it, but that's as close as it gets to getting another guy out there that's more forceful on offense.
I mean, it's also worth noting that Draymond's out and Otto Porter are out. Otto has been probably the best player off the bench this season. I mean, he's definitely been a reliable player. So part of it is they're just down a few key players. They should have played GP2 more tonight, but what you gonna do? I'm actually not as concerned about their depth. I'm a little concerned about their big man depth. To me, it was more just like, oh man, this is just one of those lazy games. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, one more thing. He mentioned about the baseball. I thought that was hilarious. The Warriors playing baseball before the game. Look, man, that's how the Warriors have been since Steve Kerr's been here. These guys are loose, man. They have fun. I think that's cool. But
that's
maybe
right.
Maybe work on making open threes, huh? Maybe for 5 minutes.
Miles, what's up?
What's up, guys? I just had a thought and a question for you guys. You guys were talking about the dog days, and I completely agree with on like the shooting slumps for some of these bench guys and Poole and all that, but some of the stuff with Kerr, like the lack of playing GP2, especially after the Memphis game where it's so apparent how effective he is, and then like just not simplifying the game for Steph or for Poole when it's clear that they just maybe some of the off-ball split action is not necessary without Draymond. Like, those are real issues that I think will present itself when it really matters.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Andy. Yeah.
No, you're right. I think also another issue that the Warriors have right now is I just don't think guys that were comfortable shooting the ball at the beginning of the season are comfortable shooting the ball right now. And I don't know what it is. I'm happy to blame Steve Kerr, but part of it's just guys got to play.
See, the only guy I can think of who's not comfortable shooting the ball is Juan. And he actually took some shots tonight.
Oh my God, he did. Which I was very,
yeah. Better or worse, he did.
I'm thinking mostly Jordan Poole, man. Like I think that's a guy that's taken this, and even Wiggins right now, he's not getting the same type of shots that he was getting. And it just, that stuff's going to take a while. I guess the fact that coincided with mid January games where nobody really cares anymore, unless you're the Phoenix Suns, makes this all pretty ugly.
This is Corporal Paul season. That's true.
you're going to have to play hard all season, baby.
Ryan, what's going on?
There we go.
Hey,
lead off hitter.
Hey, what's up, guys? Green Room decided to kill me, so I had to check out and come back in, so that's why. But, yeah, my one thing is JT has no business being on the court over John Kuminga at this point in the season. I just don't get why he was in over Kuminga. If you want defense, he provides better defense. If you want rim pressure, he provides better rim pressure. I just don't get it at this point. That layup that Juan bit regulation coming to make that in its sleep. I just don't get it anymore.
That was impressive.
I have had my wits end with Juan Toscano-Anderson. Trade him, cut him, whatever. And also I wanted to ask one question. When do you guys think that Wiggins and Clay get working together? Because it just doesn't seem like right now those two are clicking at all.
Yeah, it's a good question. I kind of think Draymond has to come back, because the big thing I notice is literally Looney is the second best passer in the starting lineup. You know what I mean? Like you can't be running the motion offense, beautiful game stuff without a couple good passers. And Steph's really the only guy that got out there.
Well, they either need Draymond to come back, or Steph needs to go into Luka Doncic mode. Or James Harden mode and just say, fuck it.
You know that's not happening.
I know, but like, well, neither of those things are happening because Draymond's not coming back anytime soon. But like, Steph is going to have to say, kind of like our last game, give me the ball, fuck this offense because it's not going to work because these guys are going to turn it over or dribble out of bounds every single time, which is what we saw today, and let me average 15 assists a game. Like, that's really the only, Steph could do it. I just, like you said, though, he just doesn't want to. That's not how you can't just rewire someone's playing style after 10 years. You know what I mean? So it's like he can't just go and change stuff up. Like, it's the reason why Russell Westbrook sucks, because he can't play off ball. So now he's useless on the court. So I don't know. It'd be fun to see him go Luka Doncic 38, 10 and 10 every night. But yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either.
Yeah. But, I mean, I do. He did have what, 8 or 9 assists tonight. I think that's going to be pretty much the status quo as long as Draymond's out, just because the offense necessitates it. But like, it's still not going to be enough.
It's too much. It's too much. Hey, let me bring the ball up. Let me throw it. And then let me go stand in the corner, run around two screens. Like, that's not like, look, even if you score 39, it's too much of that. And every other possession that he's doing that hurts the team. Right, because like the where you see guys with Doncic, where the floor is so high and Harden and these guys is that, and you know this. It's whenever they have the ball, they'll get it to guys who only do two things. So it's like, here, well, let me get it to Wiggins. You're either going to shoot a three, drive to the hole. That's it. Right now, you've got guys that are required to do three things, and you can barely do one. I saw Damian Lee trip over someone's foot today and turn the ball over. Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah,
it's not even possible.
It's just, I want to put this game behind us, to be honest with you. Yeah. But anyway, let's keep moving. Ty, what's going on, bro?
Yo, how's it going?
You know, hanging in there Thursday night.
You know.
Yeah, for sure. Frustrating game. Definitely, you know, denied my significant other affection. Signed up for an argument. It is what it is. But,
man.
After all that and processing, honestly, I'm not really that worried about the offense. Like, we manufacture wide open jumpers. Like, Steph just got to hit those. Otto Porter got to hit those. Like, Clay's got to hit those. And, like, that's just got to happen. But one thing I have noticed is teams seem to be less like worried about who the primary guy on Steph is and overloading on those passes, like those passes to get the split action started. The pat like that. Teams don't even have to be necessarily good at defense. They just have to be over aggressive because the passes are going to come. And eventually you just, you know what I'm saying, get your hand in the lane. So I think that's honestly a lot of the offense issue is just got to play with more force, not to be, you know what I'm saying, a Steve clone, Steve acolyte. But if they play with more force, less deflections, maybe more shots, shoot with conviction. I don't know. Searching for answers here.
Ty, I think I appreciate the call. I'm kind of with you on that. Like, I'm less concerned about like a structural issue with the Warriors and more just kind of Steph has to kind of take over a little bit, I guess is the best way to put it. He's got to kind of, it's been a prolonged spell of mediocrity relative to his standards. A lot of the Warriors' problems go away if Steph plays like the best player in the world. And everyone else falls into line, even without Draymond, even though we know they need Draymond ultimately for the playoffs.
Ty called in after getting into an argument with his girlfriend or boyfriend because he wanted to watch this Warriors game, Sam. Look, you think you're down bad or I'm down bad. That guy is down bad. And then he called into the Light Years podcast green room. What an absolute legend. What an absolute legend. Shout out to Ty.
The best. Asky Moon. Oh, we got a return here from our there guy Luke.
How you going, boys? You good?
We're good. How you doing, man?
I'm not happy to be honest. It's Friday afternoon, everyone's at work, and now just to swallow that bag of shit just then. I'm pretty fucking annoyed if I'm being honest. But I want you two to just correct me if I'm saying anything wrong here, right? But I've got a real This has been bubbling for about a few weeks now. I know you guys look in the Discord and whatever, but I feel like with this organizational thing, and I'm not gonna blame this loss today, like, you know, whatever, they lose, shit happens. But I feel like there's a real thing bubbling there with the fucking this pussyfooting around, like, A, what's going on with James Wiseman, which is another fucking subject altogether. But B, did you notice, like, I know you talked about just before Sammy with Andy, and he hasn't seen the clip, but did you see the body language that he gave away when he was talking about that? That set the tone for the rest of the game. Because in the first quarter, everyone's like, oh, well, all good. And Steph's like, oh, I'm going to put me on my back and have a go. Everyone else in the fourth quarter was shitting their pants. Like, Wiggins was like, I don't want the ball. Even when he got, nearly won the game at the end there, he was like, fuck, they give me the ball. I'm going to throw the ball away. I don't want to get fouled, right? What is the story? Can someone explain to me? Is there some, am I breeding too much into it? Or is there something like we all talk about margins and you two have been on it for a year and a half. The margins, all this stuff, talking about, you know, let's make a move. Right. Like, can we really depend on Draymond if this disc issue is fed into him or not? Because even then, like Gary Payton for starters, why the fuck is he not playing? They're the two best players of the game and he can't get a look in overtime. What the fuck's up with that? Anyway, Kuminga, right? He gets blamed for all the defensive mistakes. Put JTA in, who had a great game, don't get me wrong, but at the end, he can't be in the game, mate. He can't be in the game because he can't make a shot. You got three blokes out there that can't shoot. So what's the
So Luke, appreciate it. I want to start on the first.
That's a throwback call. That's a throwback call. I like that.
Yeah, so I do, first off, I think Steve's – I would encourage you guys to go watch the press conference. I thought Steve's reaction when someone asked him about Wiseman, I just felt bad for him because it looked like a guy who couldn't answer the question, honestly, is really the way I saw it. It's like there's some sort of setback that they don't want to talk about. And I don't know. I'm getting into my conspiracy theory hat right now. So I'm just going to be, you know, going full conspiracy Sam right now. It just didn't seem it seems a little off. I'll put it that way. But I don't know if that has any relation to what's going on with the game right now. That's just kind of like I watch. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Steve like just tried to dance around a question pretty aggressively.
Keep going.
Yeah, I was gonna say with regards to the game, it's like, man, I don't know what to say. They're just having some dog day stuff going on.
I don't know if we'll get to the next guy. I don't know if the Wiseman stuff concerns me just because I don't.
It concerns me because he was supposed to be in the rotation, and another big man in the rotation is another player who plays minutes so Draymond's disc doesn't, you know, his.
They better get a big man. They should have got a big man anyway. Shit. I mean, I agree with you.
This has nothing to do with whether you think Wiseman's ready to contribute in the playoffs or not, or who you think is going to be in 3 years. It's like the roster was constructed with this idea at minimum.
He'd be playing right now.
He'd be giving you minutes. And if he's giving you minutes, you know, that's a big man. So.
Yeah. I mean, or you just play Kuminga, but. He got benched for no reason.
Sure, but even I mean, either way, they're a little thin up front, is all I'm gonna say.
They need a big. Belly gets at least 4 or 5 layups just right to the rim every game, and I actually feel bad for him because he keeps putting in that situation, and it's like, well, there's nothing he could do. It's not for lack of trying. Jeez. And it's not like he's dumb. It's just he's just physically incapable of guarding quick guards to the hole. Okay, what can you do?
Oh no. Sheed.
What's up, man?
why you sound like you've been laughing?
Oh, I was just watching Dana White interview, and he was just going off on he was talking about the importance of using Joe Rogan methods for COVID recovery. So
who you got this weekend, Naganyu or Cyril Gain?
Shit, I think I'm gonna roll with Cyril on this one.
Yeah, he's probably better.
I don't know though.
Ugh.
Yeah, anything so we don't have to talk about the Warriors. What you think tonight?
Dude, I think I would rather take like 5 punches to the face from Ngannou than whatever happened tonight in the Warriors.
Throwback performance. This is some Bazemore Oubre pick and roll action.
Dude, there's been no joy since the I think the Utah win was like the last time you saw like everyone kind of actually fucking either care or have fun out there.
That's a good call. We're going on 3 weeks of just like when, you know, get me to the All-Star break. Like that's just the vibe around with the team. It's like they look like they just need a break in general.
Dude, I've never any level, right? Whatever, CYO to high school to fucking college to every level. Like I've never seen a team allow people that shouldn't handle the ball to handle the ball like the Warriors. Every other level, it's like you. The guy who can't dribble, you just like, dude, just go fucking stand in the corner and get out the way.
Or go rebound.
Yeah. But like here, it's like, nah, like, it's time to play make, baby.
God, that's such a good point. Like, it just look at the game before us. We watched the Mavs Suns. Like, if Maxi Kleber was on this team, Maxi Kleber would be handling the ball. Like, you know what he does on the Mavs? Not that the Warriors are not better than the Mavs, but you know what he does on the Mavs? He freaking sets a screen, he pops, that's it.
I get Kurt saying like, you know, it's good for like, you know, team chemistry and getting everyone involved, but it's also like, dude, if you just had your 10th man commit 4 turnovers and he's gonna turn on his fucking Twitter app and see, you know, 500 mentions of dude, you fucking suck. Stop turning the ball over. I don't know. That might have an adverse effect on him, so.
That's why Bazemore was on Twitter after every game last year talking about some bullshit. And then now, what's he up to anyway? What's Bazemore up to? Anybody know?
No.
I feel bad because I think the three guys that I think are playing the worst, and it's not really their fault because the way, like you're saying, with the fact that they have to make all these decisions, like Belly, GTA, and Lee. Like these guys are forced to like make these type of passes and make these type of plays, and it's just not working. It's just not.
And it's also like, dude, like, you know, typically if you're like turning the ball over and you're committing like just these ridiculous like passes, there's usually some type of, you know, either like some, it's gonna cost you somehow, right? Typically, there's gonna be some type of punishment.
Usually you get pulled to the bench.
Yeah. But here it's like. Nah, it's like, come on, let's get it back. Come on, let's try it again, Loon. Come on, you got 4 turnovers. Come on, what's 5? 5's not gonna hurt. Like, I don't know, man.
JTA, take it to the rim to close the game.
But I thought JTA was going to hit the game-winning layup. That shit looked like a damn pass off the backboard or something.
Yo, so...
Steve Kerr calling up plays to get the Disney, like, happy, feel-good ending. Like, we're going to get the last guy. The guy who's been struggling, the game-winning shot.
So first, on that play, that play was designed for Clay on, like, the fade.
Fade route three.
It's like, all right, bro, the dude's ice cold. He hasn't played in a minute. He hasn't hit shit tonight. And then in OT, he calls the corner three play for Poole. It's like, dude, like that dude hasn't hit a shot all night either. It's like, I don't know. But
I had my girl was at the game tonight, and she took a video of the angle that JTA took the shot from. And it was actually like it was a makeable shot. Bro, he shot that at the backboard, and it went straight backwards. So I don't actually think JT saw the. Anyway, I don't know why I'm laughing. I feel bad.
I think, but I would much see the Warriors lose by like 40 than like this type of.
Because I could have stepped away if they lost by 40. I watched the whole game tonight. I sat here from 7 to 10. And just watch this type of behavior tonight.
This was the longest game of the season, by the way. Just throw it out there. It was just a nice 3 hour just kicking the nuts. appreciate you as always, bro. Just get one more and then we'll call it a night.
Get one more. Let's get one more goon up here.
Greg.
Oh my God, thank you. God, bro, I got to get something off my chest. I don't have a question for you guys. I'm just getting stuff off my chest.
What's up?
So I don't figure out why is nobody talking about our turnovers. We take no accountability for the turnovers. I mean, the biggest turning point of the game is when Iggy just forced the pass to JTA. We were up like 3 in overtime, and then we pretty much lost off of that. Like, why we just constantly turn the ball over? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And the next thing is like rotations. I mean, Kerr played 11 guys in the first quarter. Like, can we pull away first before you do that? Like, can we have these guys out, and keep playing before? I mean, it was like a 5-point game. He's out here playing everybody. Like, I'm pretty sure I was in the game at one point. Like, it's just like disgusting. Like, I don't understand, bro. And then you guys come in here and you guys say like, I don't know, like. You guys say the offense, not worry about the offense, but this offense has been terrible for like 3 weeks. Like, it's like if we can't beat a bad defensive team using split action, what makes you think we're going to beat the Suns and beat the Bucks in a series? I just don't understand. Like, this team is all over the place right now. So I don't know.
That's a great call, Greg. Appreciate it.
All where facts. Did we go? He spoke nothing but facts.
He's right. There's nothing to defend if you're looking at it in the micro. They're turning the ball over, they're missing shots, and they're generally making subpar decisions with who to pass it to. None of that bodes well for good offense. You know, my whole thing is I just think it's a combo of injuries in that time of the season, and I'm waiting to see who, and it'd be namely Steph or maybe Clay, kind of taking the bull by the horns, being like, well, we're not going to play like this. I'm going to go off, and then, you know, everyone will fall into line, right?
Here's what I want to see. It's ended here. Moving forward here for the next month. Draymond's not coming back and for the next month, and this offense is predicated on having smart players run that type of offense. And if you're going to take out the guy that's the best passer on the team, it's not going to work. Well, Joe Lacob spent a shit ton of money this offseason, Sam, and he hired a lot of coaches, and one of them was Kenny Atkinson. So I think the Warriors need to figure out if you're going to hire brand new – Kenny Atkins is pretty much a head coach. Then he's going to have to make
some money. Highest paid assistant. Yeah.
Highest paid assistant. He's damn near a co-head coach with Steve Kerr. If you're going to pay him that money, he's going to have a large say. And it's up to Steve Kerr, too, to tell him, hey, how about you decide what's the best way to run this offense for the next month without Draymond? Because they can't keep doing what they're doing right now. It's just not going to get better because if they cut harder – and they make more focused pass. Like, it's not going to get – like, teams know what they're running out there every single time. So I think it is up to someone like Kenny Atkinson, like what Alvin Gentry did, to just add more wrinkles to this offense. I don't know what – I'm not getting paid $10 million to figure it out, but he should figure it out with Steve, a better way to do more this. Because, yeah, more – Steph, be more of a decoy.
But like, they're gonna have to do something different, and I think it's up to him. Or Steph just says, "Screw it, I'm gonna run heliocentric offense." But he's not gonna do that. So there you go. I think that's where they go.
We'll leave it here. Appreciate you guys. We'll be back next week.